trouble with real estate these days isn't necessarily selling your house, it's finding where to move next. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We'll have that in a sec, but the chair of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, is speaking at the Economic Club of New York today. She's arguably the single most powerful economic policy figure in the world, and it'll be her first public comment since the Fed's last meeting 2 weeks ago when she suggested that there may be only 2 rather than 4 interest rate hikes this year. You can be sure market participants are paying attention. And there's news this morning that home prices are up. The S&P Case-Shiller Index finds that prices are up 5.7% in the year through January. That is slightly higher than the calculation through December. And that's from a survey of 20 metro areas in the U.S. Now, for some context, we should turn to our Tuesday analyst from the Heartland, Julie Niemann at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Morning to you.
Morning, David.
Well, if you're selling, I suppose this is good news. But if you're buying, it's getting tougher, isn't it?
Well, that's the problem. You may be able to sell your house in relatively short order, but then you've got to go out and find something that invariably is going to be significantly more expensive than you were counting on. So it's that lack of alternative housing, lack of any place to move, that's really causing a clog in the housing market right now.
Builders are building, so what's the problem?
Well, the big problem is they're building at the high end. What you're not seeing is an expansion of new home construction and what they call plan homes. In other words, it doesn't have to be all the same ones. It's just developments, low and moderate end developments. That's not where builders are moving the money right now. They're getting very good construction loans, but they're all focusing pretty much exclusively on the higher end of it. America, at this point, the pent-up demand is in the lower-end housing, first-time home buyers, people who do want to move into it. So until you get more moderate housing stock coming into the market, people aren't going to move up, freeing up the lower-end housing for that first-time house buyer. So we really have a constipated market here. We cannot move ahead until we get better home construction. Interest rates are super low. Mortgages are becoming much more available right now, but we can't get it going until the construction moves.
Julie Niemann at Smith Moore & Company, thank you.
You bet.
Now, the American Academy of Pediatrics says that pediatricians should start screening patients for poverty. Low incomes coupled with trauma and a lack of supportive, responsive attention from family members can lead to what experts call toxic stress. In New York, reporter Eilish O'Neill starts her piece talking to a young woman named Bernice, who's already lived through a lot.
Bernice remembers housing insecurity, mental illness, drug use, and emotional and physical abuse in her childhood.
In elementary school, when I asked my stepfather for help on my math homework, and he actually punched me in the eye.
Bernice, who didn't want us to use her last name, got pregnant when she was 18. Because she'd suffered childhood trauma and never learned how to cope, her baby was at risk of what doctor and clinical psychologist Rebecca Schrag-Hirschberg calls toxic stress. Dr. Schrag says stress like this has lasting effects on babies' brains.
The parts of their brain that are devoted to aggression and to fear get overdeveloped, and learning and memory parts of the brain are underdeveloped.
This can lead to motor delays, behavior problems, learning disabilities, and even depression and heart disease. But fortunately, there are quick and cheap solutions. Pediatricians can connect families to services that address issues like substance abuse and housing insecurity. They can also give parents mental health care and parenting tips. That's what Bernice gets at a program at Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx.
They taught me how to set a routine for my kids where they come home from school, they get dinner, they get a bath, they play for a little bit, and then it's bedtime.
Bernice is still living on welfare while her husband's in rehab, but her depression is getting better and she now reads to and plays with her 4 young kids. The programs she attends and others like it cost money, but Dr. Rahel Briggs at Montefiore says the financial payoff is worth it.
It shows up in the school setting because the children don't need special education. And then it shows up in the juvenile justice setting because the children don't go into jail. And then it shows up, finally, 40 years later in the healthcare setting.
In short, proponents say programs like this can have positive emotional, physical, and economic outcomes for everyone. In New York, I'm Alicia O'Neill for Marketplace.
You subscribe to Popular Mechanics. You subscribe to your gym. Why not subscribe to a furniture store? The chain, Restoration Hardware, is trying to boost business by moving away from regular, loudly hyped sales and toward a paid-for membership program. For $100 a year, members get discounts on their purchases. Marketplace's Adrian Hill examines the logic of this.
Restoration Hardware CEO Gary Friedman told investors last month, much of how we behave promotionally is left over from the Great Recession. He complained about spikes in volume at sales time, high numbers of canceled orders, and the impact of sales on the brand's high-end image. The membership program, then, is the company's solution to classing up discounting. But
it's not sort of not what I would call a membership.
Kit Yarrow is a consumer psychologist at Golden Gate University.
You know, it's more like a paid discount.
Retail analyst Carol Speakerman says it's a strategy that could work by playing on customers' desire to get the most out of their $100 buy-in.
Getting them to say, you know what, I'm just going to stay here and I'm going to buy things at Restoration Hardware that before I perhaps wouldn't have bought there.
But the value may be limited. Because how many $1,000 dressers does a person really need? I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And at the end of this week, bids are due for Virgin America. The Wall Street Journal says JetBlue and Alaska are each interested in the low-fare airline started by Richard Branson's Virgin Empire. This is separate from Virgin Atlantic. The bids aren't on the table yet, so there are no dollar figures yet. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.